All right, everyone, welcome back into another fantasy golf video. Going to be getting into the Travelers Championship, touching on all the top plays in each price point range, giving you guys the core plays and a first look build. But first, I want to do a deep dive recap of the US Open. Let's get into it. All right, everyone, so let's get into the recap of last week. Let's start out with the winner, Wyndham Clark. A lot of people were not really shocked about the Wyndham Clark win. I know I wasn't. Just a player that's been playing some extremely good golf, really good staff at last week, really good rank in the 9-5 model. So let's just recap him as a 9-5 play last week. So my exposure to him was a high exposure play. For those of you that are unfamiliar with it, I'll just show you guys real quick. Each week I make a player pool and it's broken down that way. So we'll get into this. But as you guys can see, a pretty darn awesome week last week from the 9-5 player pool. But yeah. High exposure play. He was the 10th ranked player in the 9-5 player pool as well. Had him as a bet to make the cut. He was the top 16 play in the 9-5 model. He was the top 10 stat fit. That new 9-5 bet tag, which I started to do because I noticed some kind of shoulder shrug plays winning a lot more frequently. And I started to track that last Wednesday, or the Wednesday prior to Nick Taylor's win. And literally that week, Nick Taylor was listed as an outright bet. And he ended up winning. Last week, Wyndham Clark was listed as a possible outright bet. Obviously, that's a pretty strong tag. I have three tags. Outright bet, possible outright bet, and long shot bet only. It's kind of ranked in that order. So had I been asked, hey, Eric, I know you're on Siwoo Kim as an outright bet. Do you have any other ones? My next answer would have been Wyndham Clark. Sometimes the question just needs to be asked. Which brings up this clip. So I went on a show for a PGA season preview. Okay. This take was prior to Ricky Fowler even being qualified for major. At the time, the odds that you could find for Ricky Fowler to win the US Open were 200-1. Let's go ahead and listen to the take.
And so I want to know what super hot take my guys have about this year.
So my spicy take is going to be that Ricky wins again. And I could feel like some people might actually jump on that a little bit. So let's go ahead and make it spicier. I'm going to say that Ricky Fowler is going to be in the final pairing for major on a Sunday. Okay. And the reasons behind that are really just comes down to his swing coach being fired. We saw his swing coach get fired and instantly Ricky was back. And we look at his troubles. Well, they all seem to come from him. Well, maybe the golf ball a little bit, switching golf balls. But I think it was mostly due to the swing coach. Now that he's gone, it kind of seems like we had the old Ricky back. So if we can see that happen again, where he continues to play well, maybe we're getting a little bit of Jordan Spieth, you know, at the tail end of last season, a little bit the 2022 season where he kind of had a comeback year this previous season. I could easily see that happening for Ricky Fowler this season as well.
So obviously, that was a great call. And really, the only reason why I was able to have a great call like that was because the question was asked. But also, Wyndham Clark was a cash play, which leads into another kind of example. So last week on my US Open core plays video, I gave you guys this build. And let's just zoom in a little bit more. And I literally said, and I echo this a lot, the toughest part about this week is that we have a loaded 7K range. Just hope we're not on the wrong one. I don't think there was any mistakes made with the lineup I ended up on, especially the data will back that up, and I'll touch on that in just a second. But like, you could have literally entered this build and it would have cashed. I'll show you guys the build I ended up on though. So here it is. I had the choice between Adam Scott and Wyndham Clark, and I went with Adam Scott. You guys will see two missed cuts in here, Justin Rose and Adam Scott. And I feel like this is a good example of my strategy in fantasy golf. And I want to touch on this because some people be like, oh, I always fade the chalk. And I want to just echo, like, I have a tool that literally tells us if a player is overowned, underowned, or properly valued. That is a great asset for decision making. Okay. In the first place, some people might have faded Ricky Fowler just because he was high owned. That would have been a mistake. Okay. Let's look at this. We had two missed cuts on this, Justin Rose and Hideki. Okay. This lineup was very unfortunate. It was cash and kind of sweat free for a majority of Friday and Saturday and Sunday. And then Tommy Fleetwood went off, which nearly helped me take down a showdown. And then Hideki and basically everyone else had a terrible Sunday. So for the second straight week, I personally ended up on the worst possible main build I could. So now it's been 7 weeks thus far this season in which I have not cashed in my main build. And with that, obviously, that's a great, great season thus far. So no complaints there. But really, the last 2 weeks, it has been a little bit unlucky to not cash because look at this player pool. Four missed cuts. Four. One of them was a value play in Hayden Buckley in which I was only targeting because he had some stats popping up a little bit. I'm like, all right, we'll play him in one or two GPPs. Maybe we have some upside there. So really three missed cuts other than that. Adam Scott, Justin Rose. Okay. And Max Homa was the other one who had a catastrophe round two. We knew the upside with him. It was like, all right, if he is putting it all together, sure, he could possibly win. So an extremely good week. And the data backs that up. Ricky Fowler and even Bryson are kind of good examples of why you just typically play those players that are good plays, especially price point wise, where it's too good to pass up on. Sure, it didn't work out this week with Adam Scott and with Justin Rose, but more times than not, it doesn't. More times than not, it's going to give us that Ricky Fowler result rather than the random miscut. But I mean, just a phenomenal week last week. So on 26 players throughout the whole week, okay, four of those players finished top five, six of those players finished top 10, 12 of those players finished top 20. And if we just look at the core plays, you know, pretty solid stuff. The only issue was that Justin Rose missed the cut. Once again, you know, not a terrible play, just didn't work out that week. Other than that, good results. We look at players that were high exposure plays. Once again, one of those was Wyndham Clark. Five players there, one win with Wyndham Clark, three top 10s, three top 20s. Good stuff there. And I do want to just mention this as well. A lot of people come for the core plays, but they will stay for the value plays from 9 to 5 Sports. So let's go ahead and check out those. So the value plays. Once again, this is our players that are going to be 7K and lower in the 9 to 5 player pool. One miscut, and that was Hayden Buckley. An extremely good week for a studs and duds build, if you guys chose to go that route. Dylan Wu was the lowest priced player I thought we could be on. He ended up finishing 32nd. Good stuff there. If we move this up a little bit higher, I don't know, let's say to 7-3. A lot of people were making builds there. Also really good stuff there as well. You could have ended up on Russell Henley. Just a lot of other really solid plays. And let's just look at that kind of 7K and lower range. The issue that we had, once again, with that range is it was just loaded with great plays. That was the tough part that we had. And then just real quickly, I want to mention this as well, because I said I was going to start kind of just talking about the results a little bit more. I do all this data on the back end to, well, strengthen the data, but at the same time, might as well give it out to you guys if I'm doing it. So one thing that I kind of do each week, even when I don't want to enter a contest, is I will track basically just how the lineup optimizer is doing, and I'll just track it just by submitting the quarter entry contest each day on the main slate and on the showdown slates. And this is where it's more, all right, I'm tracking how 9 to 5 is doing, not how Eric Paulzina is doing, if that makes sense. I'm tracking how the data is doing rather than my own personal take. So this was the showdown build that the 9 to 5 lineup optimizer spit out. If you guys remember, last week had a great showdown week, both myself and with the lineup optimizer, which spit out a top 5 lineup last week. Well, this one spit out a victory first place lineup on the showdown quarter arcade in round 3. A little bit of luck because Wyndham Clark makes a birdie, a late birdie, and Ricky Fowler bogeys. That vaults me into first place. But good stuff there. So I've kind of been using the standard unit size as like $5 as well. Just makes it easier for me to track stuff like this. And so had you just used the lineup optimizer, and what I like to do is three unique players each and then 35% max exposure. And I just run the lineup optimizer. Now in round 1 and round 2, weren't the best results. I actually ended up losing a little bit of money. And that's simply because I, once again, this is me trying to just track the 9 to 5 data only. So I didn't put an emphasis on AMT times at all. Now, me personally, I did and was able to cash both times, if that makes sense. But in round 3, got home late on Friday. Personally, I didn't want to look over any data too much. So I did what I normally do, which is just track the data and end up with that showdown winner. Good stuff there. And then round 4 ended up being a push, as an FYI. And then for the main slate, it spit out this build as well, which ended up finishing top 20 as well. So had you just, you know, once again, just max under, let's say the quarter arcade, $5, let's just say unit size there, you would have at least won 7 units there. So just really good results across the board this week. And then lastly, it's just real quick look at the total bets and how those went last week. Ended up on Xander Schauffele, first round lead and win, clutch up. About 16.5 to 1. The best bets or the best odds out there were 35 to 1. Also had him as the top 20 bet, which was awesome to see. Got burnt by Hideki top 30 bet. He ended up finishing 32nd. But Ricky Fowler top 30 as well. That was nice. Made cut bets for Wyndham Clark, Patrick Rogers, and Andrew Putnam. Those are very nice. And then placement bets as a whole went 5 for 8. Didn't get an outright bet. Did have Xander. Did have Ricky. Had some Siwoo. Those didn't work out. Looked like pretty encouraging, obviously, after the first round, but then did it the first round lead, which is going to be for the second straight week. And that the 2 months prior to hitting those, it was basically a second place finish every time. So thank you, Xander, for not choking away the first round lead. So this week we have the Travelers Championship. Last year we ended up hitting Xander Schauffele as an outright bet at 20 to 1, which is great to see. And this is a tournament in which we kind of know what to expect, although it's kind of unique in the sense that it is a little bit short of a track, but the day that consistently pops up each season is kind of the same. So let's go ahead and look at the top stat fits for this week. So looking at that, the players that have had success and the reason kind of why I was able to hit Xander Schauffele as an outright bet last year was it is a typical course that does lead to good ball striking, good total driving, that affected birdie to bogey ratio, and then also good drive percentage. It's kind of interesting that does typically play similar ish to how the US Open played in terms of key stat data. Now it is a little bit hit or miss because we've kind of had different winners as well. So the key stat data is a little bit skewed in some senses because some weeks it was, oh, this guy, the winner was really good in stroke gain approach. Other weeks it's, oh, this guy was really putting the ball well. So it's kind of a mixed bag of results. Some other data that I'm also looking at is going to be stroke gain putting. par four scoring, that typically is key here as well. Okay, so now let's just go ahead and look at which players are the best stat fits. We got Scottie Scheffler, Victor Hovland, Jason Day, Xander Schauffele, Sungjae Im, always seems to be popping up, Rory, Max Homa, Matt Fitzpatrick, Patrick Hanley, Cameron Young, Luke Liss, what? JT, we'll see what happens there. Ricky, Power, Kim. Okay, so we got a good field there. Let's go ahead and take a peek at which players have the best course history here. So we got one player here, a value play, that had a good result last year at this tournament. Adam Scott as well. And then we get into some really good course history. Patrick Hanley has been a stud at this track, all top 20 finishes. He is someone that I think you would argue does have the best course history. Then we see Rory popping up in there. Then we see Brian Harman popping up in there. What is very interesting about this is that we typically see players that played well at the US Open play well here as well. Seamus Power's popping up. Andrew Putnam popping up, 3 straight make cuts. Mackenzie Hughes, 4 straight make cuts. Xander Schauffele, obviously the victor last year, kind of popping up as well. You got Harris English, 19th. 1st and 71st, so 3 straight make cuts. Good stuff there with him. KH Lee, 3 out of 4 make cuts, with 2 of them being top 20 finishes. Scottie Scheffler, 13th, 47th, and also a missed cut. The theme here is that we have a lack of elite course history, okay? But what the data kind of suggests is that having some course experience is more likely than not going to help. So that could be something you default to for 50-50 decision makers. Let's go ahead and take a peek at the golfers that are coming in with the best recent form. We got Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Patrick Cantlay, Jon Rahm, Rory. I mean, no real shocks there, right? Then we have Victor Hovland, Ricky Fowler still, Tommy Fleetwood, Matt Fitzpatrick, Wyndham Clark, Hideki, Henley. This is a loaded field in terms of recent form. Where I find it shocking is that we might be looking at someone like Andrew Putnam here. That's a little tease. I think he's going to be a good play this week. Now let's go ahead and move on into the specialist. All right, so we go ahead and get into the specialist data, which is going to be telling us which players are going to be the top specialists for that week's tournament. And how we determine that is going to be by looking at the unique characteristics for that week's tournament. For instance, Pete Dye course designs. We got Bent Greens, location, Connecticut. I would say the biggest one would be the fact that we have a shorter track, an extremely short track, but it also plays more difficult. So if we were to look at length, we could look at that, which players had the best results on shorter tracks. We can also look at based off the scoring, and then we could determine which players would be the top kind of specialists just in that regard. But no, I like to look at the full sample that we have going into that data. So here are the top specialists for this week. Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele, Jon Rahm, Patrick Cantlay, Victor Hovland, Rory, Tommy Fleetwood, Wyndham Clark, Adam Scott, just a bunch of big name players, right? This is going to be a good field that we have this week. So without further ado, let's touch on that good field that we have. All right, so looking at guys, there's no surprise with who the top players are. The top 5 players are basically listed correctly. Patrick Cantlay gets a slight edge over everyone, but it's very tight. Let's just make that clear. It goes Patrick Cantlay, number 1, Scottie Scheffler, Jon Rahm, Xander, and then Rory. Okay, Rory has a little bit struggled here. Xander, obviously the defending champ, been playing extremely good golf, 27 straight make cuts in a row. The worry with him is that eventually he's going to miss the cut. So it shouldn't really matter which one you end up on here, especially for main build if you choose to do so. But I would say Patrick Cantlay is going to be the top play in this price point range. And so let's go ahead and touch into that a little bit further. So Patrick Cantlay has been a top 20 machine at this track. Patrick Cantlay really did not have a good US Open going until that round 3. Okay, round 3. Shot 67, and then in round 2 shot a 69, and finishing top 20 there as well. He was able to turn a lackluster week into a good week. He barely made the cut and then was able to produce from there. So I do think he is someone that, kind of given the price point, given the fact that he's ranked number 1 in the 9-to-5 model, and given the fact that he's the lowest priced player out of those top 5 players that we really want to be going out of our way to target, he makes a lot of sense as a play this week. And then from there, Victor Hovland is going to be the next best play. Where it kind of gets interesting is looking at Tommy Fleetwood. I don't want to pay this much for Tommy Fleetwood. I know you don't want to pay this much for Tommy Fleetwood as well. Not coming in as the best at fit, but if we look at the specialist data, 7th best there. We look at the course history rank, 9th best there. That's with the 46th and 13th place finish. And recent form-wise, top 10 in the field. Overall, coming in as a top 10 play in the 9-to-5 model. Just given, I would say, kind of the risk, if you will, that we have this week with the pricing. Like, the US Open pricing was so soft, okay? This week, it feels correct, okay? Like, we're getting Wyndham Clark at 9.2. Wyndham Clark is coming in as the 8th best pick. Like, if you want to play him, you can. Obviously, the last time that he came in off of a big win, he missed the cut, okay? That was at the PGA Championship. We kind of give him a pass, but still, that is a worry. Now, he does have good results here, a 35th, 2 missed cuts, and a 15th place finish. And so it's tough to really gauge like what we should do with that. And then looking at Ricky as well, Ricky has surprisingly struggled at this track, but obviously touchdown again. I've touched on this so much thus far this season. I don't think we can really judge Ricky based off of what he did really prior to this season. He had a swing coach that just ruined his swing, ruined his game, ruined his confidence. Since he made the switch, he's been old Ricky. So I don't know if we want to put too much into that. So we look at his past three starts, 5th, 9th, 6th. Okay, great stuff there. Missed the cut to the PGA Championship on the number. And then 14th, like he has just been playing great golf. 7th best recent form. He's going to be the 7th best staff in the field and a top 13 specialist. The issue is that he's had 2 bad missed cuts at this track over the past 2 years. How does he respond with that? That's my biggest worry. And I don't mind Matt Fitzpatrick as well, but also I don't really feel the need to play him. Let's go and touch on the mid-tier range. So the mid-tier range, we really just do not have good plays. Like, it wouldn't be shocking to see Max Homa bounce back this week. A guy that's made 14 out of 16 made cuts. I don't really know what happened in round 2. There, 76, just terrible. He was someone that might, all right, he's gonna play well, and he's been very hit or miss thus far this season. If he goes down and gets a top 10 finish, it wouldn't be too shocking, but given the course history, it could be 3 straight missed cuts at this tournament. That is going to be a worry to me. I think we can go a little bit lower, and maybe we're just looking at Hideki again. Man, the back 9, tough to swallow there last week at the US Open. But I would say Hideki did what we wanted him to do if you played him, okay? Basically, expecting a top 30 finish, finishing 32nd, that's fine. And he's coming in as another solid play once again. Like, the price point is just so soft. I get why they're pricing him this way, but given the safety that Hideki's had as a play this season, it kind of just makes sense to continue to roll with him. If you're someone that likes to do a fair and balanced build, that would be the approach that you could go with. Hideki has not played this tournament over the past 4 years. That's going to be the worry. He's only the 23rd best staff hit, but he's going to be a top 10 specialist and top 12 in recent form. Overall, coming in as a top 10 play in the 9-5 model. That should tell you kind of how weird this field is going to be this week. I would say really the players that we would probably want to end up on this range other than Hideki would be these players right down here. These last like 5 players. We got Salih Tagala here, who has one of the best made cut streaks going on the PGA Tour right now with 20 straight. And then it, like, there's a big drop off where the next best is like 8. There's like 4 guys grouped together, and then there's a big drop off. So he's in that group of players that continue to make cuts. The issue with him is he has had a lack of strong upside finishes. That being said, he did have a 2nd place finish at this tournament last year. Probably should have won. Okay, he choked it away. That's how Xander wins tournament. But looking at it, he did have a missed cut at this tournament 2 years prior to that, but still looking like someone that should be a good play this week. 11th best specialist in the field, 21st best recent form. Not the best course history as a whole ranking-wise, because that miscut ranks 42nd in the field, but still, obviously, we like the 2nd place finish. And then 67th best staff hit. So, it's good enough play. Coming in as a 22nd best pick in the 9-5 model, you could certainly roll with him if you want to. We continue down into Shane Lowry. Shane Lowry has made 14 out of 17 make cuts. You know, I think if we're playing him to get like a top 10 finish, we're probably not going to get that. But he should be a solid enough play across the board, should be a safe play. He's only made a start at this tournament once over the past 4 years, which was a made cut, but that was only a 60th place finish. I would say we would be expecting around a top 35 place finish out of Shane Lowry this week if we are playing him. And then from there, we have Tom Kim, who, man, Tom Kim, wow, what a really good weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday there. Man, if he would just had a good opening round, whoo-wee, it would have been interesting there. But he's coming in as the 11th best stat fit. Recent form was spotty heading into that tournament. Okay. Memorial tournament, miscut, terrible. PGA championship, bad result. And you know, that is just going to happen with players. Okay. Especially for someone like Tom Kim, a younger player, had been making a ton of cuts. There are just going to be random bad spells of golf. Okay. Maybe he finally got through that. Should be a good enough play. More of a shoulder shrug play. And that's kind of the issue with this range, is I kind of see these guys as all shoulder shrug plays. Even Siwoo Kim. Siwoo Kim has been playing great golf. 18 out of 21 made cuts in a row, or 18 out of 21 made cuts on the PGA Tour. Has made 3 straight cuts in a row on the PGA Tour now. We see some upside finishes from him. Okay, 4th at the Memorial Tournament, 2nd at the AT&T Byron Nelson, 1st at the Sony Open, 8th at the Shriners. Like, he has had good results this far this season. We look at the course history. It's kind of what we come to expect from someone like Siwoo Kim. Barely made the cut last year. Missed cut, 11th missed cut. I mean, that's just kind of Hideki. So course history isn't the best, but he does rank out top 20 in all the other 3 key metrics that we're looking at: specialist, staff fit, and recent form. Overall, coming in as a top 15 play in the 9-5 mile. I don't know if we need to play those guys, though. I think it's going to be more of a studs and duds build. Let's go ahead and get into the low tier plays. So from there, I do think we can look at Adam Scott. He is someone that I was actually pretty shocked and I'm missing the cut. Okay, had a bad opening round. Seemed like he was going to be able to make the cut and then just kind of faltered at the end there. Just could not get it going. Okay, but he's made 13 out of 14 make cuts thus far this season. Could have been the fact that it was a major. You know, we don't really know. Just didn't have it all together. But besides that, has been a stud thus far this season. I mean, maybe we don't make him a cash play. He's not the best stat fit. That was the worry with Adam Scott, is that he wasn't the best stat fit last week. And he's not the best stat fit this week. 46th in the field. But he's the top 10 specialist, second best in course history rank. That's with one start, finishing 13th 2 years ago. And then he's also going to be top 20 in recent form rank. So also not someone that's going to be a terrible play. But where I think we can start to get kind of interesting with our plays is going to be someone like Russell Henley. Russell Henley, a little bit of hit or miss, but he's now made his last three cuts over his past three starts. And basically all of his made cuts recently have been top 20 finishes. Russell Henley at this track has went 19th, 32nd, and missed cut. Okay, that's going to be... He didn't make a start here last year, so it's going to be 2021, 2020, and 2019. But he is going to be a top 20 specialist, ranks 21st in course history rank, 30th best stat fit, and 14th in recent form rank. Overall, a top 12 play in the 9-to-5 model. Given his price point, I think we can be looking at him as a play this week. And then I do want to call out someone like Harris English. Harris English, a former winner at this tournament just 2 years ago, and then followed that up with a 19th place finish last year. Harris English has been someone that's been a little bit spotty in terms of form thus far this season. He's not exactly the Harris English from the Harris English season that we had from him when he won that tournament. Okay. I do think he is a good play this week, though. Like, the results have almost been there. Missed the cut of the PGA Championship. I don't think we're too shocked at that. Missed the cut of the Players Championship. I don't think we're too shocked at that. And he has been someone that has played well at the US Open in the past. He's a quality play. He might be more of a shoulder shrug play this week, but he's a play that, kind of given the field that we have right now, given the pricing, I'm perfectly happy to end up on this week. Then from there, we look at a play like Brian Harman, who's been very spotty, but he has great course history with three top 10 finishes here over the past 4 years and one missed cut. I think he's going to be worth a look just given the fact that we might have that upside there from him. Had a great opening round at the US Open, and then that was about it, okay? His form has been very spotty. We can kind of see that just having a lot of blow-up rounds mixed in with good rounds. So definitely not anyone that you're trusting in cash there. You can't trust Brian Harman in cash. And then we're looking at Jaeger here. Jaeger has made two cuts at this track in the past. Okay, that is great. Love to see that. He's not a bad play in any metric, but he's also not a standout play in any metric. He's basically Nick Taylor when he won the RBC Canadian Open, coming in practically top 35 or better in all the key metrics that we're looking at. Six straight made cuts. I think what we'd be expecting is about a 30th place finish out of him. Given the price point, given the price tag that we have on him, I think he's something that we've been looking at this week. And then I worry about the ownership in this play here, okay? Because I've already seen him touted a bunch, and I barely look at my Twitter in the morning on Monday, and he's popping up a lot. And it's warranted. The form has been there, especially over the past five. He's made six straight cuts in a row, and in that stretch, he's had two top 10 finishes. Obviously, last week was phenomenal. He finished 47th at this tournament 2 years ago. We look at ball striking and total driving, top 20 there, and then top 40 in all the other key stats that we're looking at. Specialist-wise, 36th in the field. Course history-wise, 35th in the field. Stat rank, 26th in the field. And then recent form-wise, 30th in the field. Overall, coming in as a top 20 play in the 9-to-5 model. He is someone that, you know, we might want to look at the ownership leverage report there on him to see if he's coming in over-owned, but I do think he's going to be someone that we're looking at. And then lastly, I do want to touch on Andrew Putnam here, because Andrew Putnam is coming in as a really good looking play. Putnam has made three straight cuts at this tournament over the past 4 years, including a top 15 place finish 2 years ago. Key stat wise, could be better at total driving and ball striking kind of combined there, but he's not making that many bogeys. Okay. He's hitting greens. He's just playing smart golf. Now, we did see him have to withdraw from the Wells Fargo Championship and then miss the cut the PGA Championship. Didn't play poorly, but I would argue that if he was healthy, he probably would have made the cut. And that's just a long, long cut streak then there for Andrew Putnam. Andrew Putnam has been a play that we've been on a ton thus far this season. I really don't get the price point for him. He's the 18th best specialist, 20th in course history rank, 17th best in recent form, and top 20 stat fit. He is someone that it really wouldn't be shocking to see in contention as well. Like, he's a long shot bet, don't get me wrong, but he's a long shot bet that really shouldn't have as long of odds as he has. As I'm recording this video, it's like 180 to 1. Like, that's pretty crazy. He's coming in as a top 25 play in the 9-to-5 miles. Like, not like an elite play, like not Wyndham Clark last week, where he's like 16th, or Ricky, where he's 11th in the model. But still, that's a very fun price point. Let's put it that way. From there, like Bo Hosler's fine. Like, we have some good plays. Thomas Dietrich is a play that I don't mind. Bremlett is someone I think we could look at. But let's go ahead and get into the value tier. So let's go ahead and start with Lee Hodges here. Lee Hodges is someone that has found some form as of recent, making the cut in his past four starts on the PGA Tour. We look at that Wells Fargo Championship, which was his last miscut. Really just had a bad opening round, followed it up with a 69. And then prior to that, three straight make cuts before that as well. So, you know, he has been someone that has been playing golf as of recent. Really during the summer swing, he's just been playing some good golf. Finished 25th at this tournament last year as well. Not someone that's overly popping, but for a value tier base play, it's someone that I think we can be looking at this week. Then from there, I do want to call Mark Hubbard as a play. Mark Hubbard, 16 out of 24 made cuts. Recently, he has been playing great golf. We see an 11th, 18th, 27th, made the cut at the PGA Championship, 9th, 30th, and 6th. Okay, been playing some great golf. Course history-wise, three straight made cuts at this track. He is another one of those players. If you are looking for a long shot bet, it wouldn't be shocking to see him play well. Okay. Course history rank 12th. Specialist wise, 33rd. Recent form is going to be top 30. Could be a much better stat fit. That's going to be the worry with him. So maybe someone that's more or less just a better bet to make the cut. And given the odds that we have, I'm listing 180 to 1 right now. Like, I'm going to assume that his made cut number is going to be a pretty good number there. But I like that pricing on him. Then from there, you could look at someone like Sam Stevens, who ended up making the cut. He's now made six straight cuts. Okay, this is a great price point for him. Chaz Reavy is someone I think we firmly need to be looking at. Someone that's made four straight cuts now on the PGA Tour. And he has tremendous course history here, finishing 8th, 25th, 46th, and 1st. Just tremendous results there from Chaz Reavy. Given the price of 6.7, that is something I don't think we should be ignoring this week. And I don't think we'll need to drop this low, but someone like Andrew Novak is popping up as well, who also has two top 10 finishes over his past five starts. Okay. He has been someone that has played some solid golf thus far this season. Four straight cuts in a row he has made, 13 out of 16 on the season. And he finished 46th at this tournament last year. He's a play that does make a lot of sense. Like, you could easily talk yourself into some Andrew Novak this week. And then there are a few more players here. Like Dylan Moo, I really don't get the price of Dylan Moo this week. Sure, he missed the cut the Charles Schwab Challenge. That was a team event. Don't really care about that too much. Missed the cut the 18th tee. Byron Nelson just had a bad round in the second round. Still shot under par. We'll take that. And then just rattled off a bunch of good results there. Okay. 32nd place finish last week as our lowest price value play that we could be on. Stat fit wise, pretty darn good. Top 15 at 12th. 12th in the field, okay? Like, he is a pretty good value play if you need to go down that low. And then some of that keeps popping up as well is going to be Kevin Yu. Stat fit wise, he doesn't have a lot of data going into his PGA Tour stats, but the stats that he does have are phenomenal. It's top 10, okay? So take with a grain of salt. It's not a lot of data going into that, but it is phenomenal. We look at his results that we do have coming in as well. They're pretty darn good. 7th at the AT&T Byron Nelson, 44th at the Farmers Insurance Open, under par at the American Express, -5. I mean, that's an event that we know it's kind of high variance. It's just all about playing good enough golf. Everyone plays good golf. It's just how good a golf are you going to play? Sony Open, 21st. RSM Classic, 54. The Mayakoba, 75 in the opening round, then 67. So he is someone that, man, has been playing great golf. I really can't imagine why we're getting this price point. It's a good price that we're getting there. And then, guys, I'm getting to the core plays, but I realized I didn't mention Nate Lashley. He is someone that's kind of popping up as well. Someone I think we can be looking at this week. All right, so one of my favorite plays this week, given the price that we have, is going to be Andrew Putnam. Priced at 7.2 on DraftKings. That just seems way too low. Okay, we're getting him at an extreme outright odds as well. I kind of expect that to get corrected because Andrew Putnam is coming in looking like a phenomenal play. And once again, if we just take out kind of the two tournaments in which, you know, he had a withdrawal, been playing great golf this season, okay? Over his past nine starts, has multiple top 10 finishes, a fourth place finish just two starts ago, and had a good result at the US Open, you know, kind of considering the price, kind of considering the play. At this tournament, he's had great results as well. 46th, 13th, 57th. Key stat wise, only one glare. Key stat number two is going to be total driving, just not the longest off the tee. But we did see that he's going to be good at effective birdie to bogey ratio, which is going to be bogey avoidance and birdie to bogey ratio, and does pepper the green. So as a whole, coming in as a top 20 stat fit, top 20 in recent form, top 20 in course history, and coming in as the 21st best pick in the 9-5 model, and also a top 20 specialist. Really across the board, he is looking like a great play. I say this a little bit cautiously because, like, I don't know. Russell Henley is one of those players that it never feels comfortable to trust because he's a little bit hit or miss, but what we can see over his past nine starts has been giving us tremendous results. Should be a lock for a top 20 bet. And I say that because, well, he's just been a top 20 machine over that time span. He's coming in the 15th best recent form in the field, and it really just depends on how you want to look at it. You could see 11th best over his past 10 starts, 21st best over his past 15, and 18th best over his past five. So just good stuff across the board. Top 16 specialist. Course history wise, I love to see this, guys. I love to see when the form gets better each season at a tournament, or the results get better at a tournament each season. So 4 years ago, missed cut. 3 years ago, 32nd. And 2 years ago, 19th. All great stuff there. Coming in as the top 12 pick in the 9-to-5 model. Then from there, I do think we can easily look at Patrick Cantlay as a play. Patrick Cantlay, just tremendous course history. Four straight top 20 finishes. We look at key stat data. Great ball striker, great total driver. Really no worries there. Doesn't make many bogeys. Really the worst data point that we have coming in was just two starts ago where he finished 29th. I mean, that just tells you how good of a play he is. Specialist-wise, everything just coming in, chucking all the boxes there. For Patrick Cantlay, I love the price that we're getting on him. And then I'm going to choose to continue to be on Xander Schauffele. I think we can easily make that work. So let's go ahead and give you guys a first look build with those core plays. So once again, I feel like we can make a pretty darn good build this week. Just in general, a lot of good price plays this week. So starting with the core plays, we can already see like it's not going to be that difficult to fit Xander and Cantlay into a build together. It's really up to you guys where you want to go, but I'm perfectly fine with that. If you guys want to go maybe a more fair and balanced build, maybe go Hideki, Tagala, Lowry, Tom Kim, Siwoo Kim, I don't mind that idea as well. But from there, we could easily go. We have 7.2 on average. I believe Mark Hubbard was then able to fit into our builds. 6.9, I mean, that's just a tremendous price tag for him. Then we have 7.5 left over. We could go Brian Harman. We could go Jaeger. We could go Austin here as well. I might default to him for now because he was popping up the most. Justin Suh is a play that I didn't even mention. He's a tremendous play, I would say, this week. We still have Nate Lashley there at 7K, which is a great price as well. There are just so many little routes that we could go this week. But that's going to be all for this video. Hopefully you guys enjoyed it. If you did, you know what to do. Get that like and subscribe. That does help out the channel a lot, which then helps me be able to push out more content for you guys. Let's have a good slate this week. And as always, let's keep cashing.